The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Students heading on J1s are going to be told that their social media profiles have to be public before they travel. The American Embassy in Ireland is also asking applicants to include usernames for social media sites, not just for what you're using now, but anything you've used in the last 5 years. Larry Donnelly is a law lecturer at the University of Galway. He's a columnist with The Journal and he's on the line. Larry, this is new, but is it significant?
Well, it's new and it is quite significant, but I don't think it's in any way unexpected. We knew there was going to be a major reset when the Trump administration ordered the cessation of J1 interviews. We knew that there was going to be a new regime, so to speak, put in. So this isn't surprising, but it is significant because it really has a big whiff of Big Brother all over it. And, you know, especially coming from my own country, where we always thought of ourselves as the land of the free and the home of the brave, and where we place huge weight on the First Amendment and our right for freedom of speech. The idea that effectively Irish students and students from anywhere in the world are going to be censored before they come to the United States is chilling.
Yeah, look, it is ironic given the trumpeting of free speech by people who support President Trump that this is now coming in. But realistically, are we thinking of an AI system here that's going to, you know, you type in advance, you're at Jonathan Healy's or at Larry P. Donnelly's, and then AI scrapes it to see, did you say anything that might be deemed offensive? Or is it still going to be some immigration officials going through your phone as you're standing in front of them?
Yeah, how feasible this is going to be to police, I have no idea. As you say, between AI, the internet is obviously a pretty big place. How they're going to do this, one just doesn't know. And how, you know, policing this, I think, is going to be a total nightmare, totally unrealistic. What I do think there might be is something potentially of a deterrent effect. That is that, you know, spreading things or saying things that are bad about the United States or indeed bad about Israel, perhaps that might, you know, slow down a little bit. But, you know, look, I think that this is going to be very difficult to implement, but it sends a big signal about where the United States of America is right now. And of course, this will all be couched in the language of national security and that we need to keep people who are a threat to the United States out. On that front, I think Irish people are probably okay. You know, we're not the main targets here, but still, it sends very worrying signs. And, you know, and again, speaking as an American, this is not what our country was ever about. And I think it's deeply unfortunate.
Isn't it more likely to have a deterrent effect, not in people saying negative things about America, but just not going at all? And I'd imagine there's a lot of people listening right now who might have been half thinking about a trip to maybe New York or to Florida or to California going, I'm not going now because I'm not telling that orange idiot what actually I have on my social media.
Well, if they were smart, they'd be thinking about going to Boston, but I'll leave that to one side. But there definitely is an issue. I mean, I'm hearing loads of stuff, albeit anecdotal, about planes going to the United States that are half full when in the midst of tourist season, in the midst of the summer, you would think that they would be quite full. I think that there's an awful lot of people who are really disenchanted with the United States. It's not the country that they recognize. And I'm not speaking here about people who don't like the United States. And there are people in Ireland who don't like the United States. I'm speaking about people who have very fond memories of the U.S., who have very strong connections with the United States, who are saying that at this moment in time, given everything that they are seeing, they just don't want to go to the U.S. and in their minds, I suppose, in any way, give a tribute to Donald Trump. And I think that's really sad for me to take on as an American again. But I get where they're coming from. I wish we weren't in this position, but sadly, that's where we are. And you look at, even before Donald Trump was president, you look at a couple of other things that are often cited to me by Irish people going to the U.S., is that it is a hassle, the security thing and everything else. It is difficult. It's not easy to go through. You know, I know we have pre-clearance in Dublin Airport and in Shannon, but it's still not easy. It's still kind of a hassle. And then you get to the United States, and anyone who's been there in the past year or two will say the same thing to me. The cost of just about everything is absolutely off the charts. And even with the euro getting a little bit stronger, it's still serious money to go to the U.S.
I know the European Union and as a result Ireland are putting in a new kind of visa system similar to, what was it, the ETSI form that America have had for some time. Can you imagine the outrage in the United States if we try to impose this standard on Americans coming here?
Yeah, I think it would be very much a how dare you. And I think that unfortunately, Trump's America has sort of brought that kind of ugly Americanism to the fore. There are a substantial, you know, segment of people in the United States who still regard Europe as something of, you know, a theme park at this stage, something that's passed its sell-by date, an entity that has relied upon the United States for its defense and its safety, yet at the same time asserts some sort of cultural superiority over the United States. That sentiment is increasingly prevalent in Trump's America, whether we like it or not. So I think if Europe did do something like that, I think it would be met by a harsh reaction. But one of the things, Jonathan, here is that the people who feel that way, they're the ones least likely to come to Europe anyway. And conversely, the people who are more likely to go to the United States, they are less likely to be the ones who are posting negative things about the U.S. or about Israel more generally. So, you know, perhaps the impact of all of this, as regrettable as it might be, is a little bit overstated.
Yeah, the only thing I can say is, obviously living in a tourist town as I do, when I see Americans on the street, and I've never done this, but now I'm going, wonder which side they're on. And it must be terrible for some Americans to think along those lines, to think that they're being judged. And I'm not a very judgy person, Larry, but I'm doing it, which means everybody's doing it. Are they a pro-Trump or are they an anti-Trump or are they a disillusioned American? I mean, do the Americans coming here realize that this is how we see them now, regardless of their politics? We're just seeing them all as, it's one of them.
Well, despite some of the common misperceptions out there about Americans being generally ignorant and those sorts of things, which I think perhaps you can say that about a swathe of America, but those who come to places like Ireland, those who leave the United States, I think are quite different. And I think to your point, I think they are acutely well aware of how they are perceived. They are acutely well aware that Donald Trump is not popular in Ireland or just about anywhere else in the world. And what I always say to people, whether it's business people, whether it's tourism industry, whether it's academics, whatever crowd I'm speaking to, I say it's very simple to get where an American is coming from when they're in Ireland. If they are willing to engage with you on politics in any meaningful, substantive way, chances are they oppose Donald Trump. If when the subject of politics comes up, they immediately change the topic or poo-poo it and say, we're just getting on as best we can, you can pretty fairly surmise that if not a total Trump supporter, they may well have voted for Trump or they don't like the Democrats and think that they are very weak. So that's a pretty good way to sum things up about where Americans who come here are. If they're willing to talk to you, chances are they share the common view here. If they're not, chances are they're either with Trump or they're not in favor of the Democrats.
Finally, Larry, it's been, we'll say, an eventful couple of days in international diplomacy, if you can call it that. What was your thought when you woke up to the news, early on, was it Sunday morning, that there had been an American attack on Iran's nuclear bunker with these big bombs and Trump coming out saying they'd been obliterated and so on? As an American living in Europe, what was going through your mind?
Well, I'll be blunt. I was genuinely shocked. I know there had been a drumbeat, there had been all the signs that Trump was going to go in this direction, but I am still absolutely shocked because I view it to be, as well as immoral and illegal under international law, I view it to be an act of colossal political stupidity, both within the United States and around the world in terms of America's position. One of Donald Trump's greatest political advantages always has been that he would not use the military, that he was opposed to military interventionism. Now he has forfeited deliberately that advantage, and I cannot for the life of me fathom why. Of course, people will say he's doing the bidding of Israel, et cetera, et cetera. But he has left the United States wide open to involvement in prolonged Middle East conflict, which has been disastrous for the country and is the very reason why in 2016 he won the Republican nomination for president. So to me, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever at any level. Trump says this is going to be kind of a hit and run. I think the history of the Middle East and the American intervention in the Middle East dictates a very different result. So he's gambling with his presidency. This could be the hill that he dies on. We're all wondering, is there anything that could kill Donald Trump? Is there anything that could dent his appeal? If this leads to conflict in the Middle East, if this leads to, so quote unquote, boots on the ground, that will be what Donald Trump will be remembered for.
Okay, Larry Donnelly, pleasure as always. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.